Look at someone and say, I'm glad you came.
I'm glad you came.
I'm glad y'all came.
And look at someone else and say, 24/7
love you. 24/7 love you.
I said 24/7. Alright, check it out. So let's just do a little recap right quick. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Endgame, somebody say endgame, a lot. That's true. That's facts. Endgame. Alright, to be successful in battle, you need to know what? Facts. Okay, weapon. Somebody said weapon. Okay. What are the pieces of armor that we've talked about so far?
Wrestling righteousness, the truth, and the gospel.
We ain't talking about the sword yet. We'll get to it. Okay. What is truth? What's that?
Truth?
Amen. Amen. straight. All right, breastplate. What's the breastplate? It's righteousness and protection. That's true. Okay, good. Shoes. Talk about shoes. Not Nike. Talk about shoes. Shoes of peace. What do shoes of peace talk about? Who is it? Give me a definition. Well, give me what you got right now. Just give me what you got. And then we'll elaborate from there. Cool. All right.
Shoes, oh, they give you a firm foundation. So whenever the devil comes, you have some grip.
Gives you a strong footing. And then what you got? The shoes?
Perhaps. Anyone? Strong standing.
Anybody got something? Huh?
You keep on messing with all this.
What is going on? What are y'all? Today is Sunday, by the way. So shoes. Talk to me about the shoes, somebody. Foundation. The shoes were of what?
Peace.
Come on, B, what's that? Peace, the shoes of the gospel. What did they mean anything?
Understanding of peace, then when the devil comes, then it's going to be chaos.
It's going to be chaos. Okay. You know, you guys, if you take notes, you kind of remember this. You got good memories, but man, I'm just saying. All right. So, guess what we're talking about today? It's an open book test. It's up there. You'll be here all week, right? All weekend. They gonna be here all weekend. All right, so check it out. We're talking about the shield. The shield of what? Ah, yeah, I can tell you. So we're talking about the shield of faith. So to battle Satan, the Apostle Paul, who wrote all of this, but to battle Satan, the Apostle Paul, He instructs Christians to put on the full armor of God so that we'll be able to stand our ground and after you've done everything to stand in his divine power. But putting on the armor of God, so no matter what the enemy's throwing at you, so people just, you know, coming at you being savage. People just talking about you. People just, you know, just bad on you. People just not giving you love. You know, you're feeling whatever you're feeling a certain kind of way. You and your filios, you and your feelings, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Your filios. Paul is saying to combat the enemy, to put on the full armor of God. And that's what we've been talking about with all of these pieces. Breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. The shoes of what?
Peace.
The shoes of the gospel, shoes of peace, yes. So that you have true facts to go off of, that you have peace in your life, that you'll have protection, you know, against people that are speaking against you. Because guess what? Someone's probably talking about you right now. That's just straight facts. So, good or bad? I'm just saying, someone's probably talking about you right now. And you can have an OL approach. You can have an OL approach. But what's really on the inside? I used to have a well approach, but on the inside, it made me feel a certain kind of way. On the outside, I was like, whatever, you know, whatever, whatever. But on the inside, I did feel a certain kind of way because we all just want to get along. You know what I'm saying? Well, I just want to get along. So, putting on the armor of God. So we're talking about the shield of faith is the next piece that we're talking about. And this shield that's up here, that was up there, yeah, go back real quick to that shield. This shield, for the Roman guards were the most advanced military system on the planet back in that time. And their weapons that they used, and this shield itself, it's not just like a little round shield, like Captain America. I did Captain America, getting a little round, cute little shield, you know, that you know, be throwing at people. Like a little frisbee. You know what I'm saying? This thing, it's like three feet high. Three and a half feet high. About almost three feet wide, to where a soldier could get behind it if someone was, you know, throwing darts and fireballs and all kind of crazy stuff. They could get behind this and hide and have protection during warfare. So they were made of leather, wood, metals, and canvas. That this thing was sturdy, so that they used it more than just a shield. They used it as a weapon as well, but it was their first tool of defense. That's what I'm talking about, the facts right there. So again, to battle Satan, the Apostle Paul is instructing Christians to put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to withstand whatever he throws at you. So we're talking about the shield of faith. So guess what you have to activate this weapon? Oh, I love it. You guys can own it, man. You guys are on it. You got to have faith. Can someone tell me what faith is? Believe what I'm saying, Nate? What you got? Putting your full trust in something?
Blindly.
Okay, what else is faith? Amanda looking at me like, he gonna call on me. Amanda, what's faith? Blindly following God, not questioning.
Trust.
Great. Anyone at the top here? I feel like y'all are not participating as much as you participate. I see a hand back there. Yes, ma'am.
Let's see. I hate it, but I'm going to let you get it.
Okay.
Deceptions of faithful for the
enemy. Amen.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Sit right there. That was the glory dance right there. Y'all don't know about the glory dance. Okay, so we're talking about faith. So it's our faith, not our deeds. Someone say, it ain't your deeds, but it's your faith that moves God. Let me tell you why. So in Hebrews 11, chapter 6, it teaches us that without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those that earnestly seek him. So in order to even have a relationship with God, you got to believe that he's there, that he exists. So that's why faith is so important. So you can't even activate this part of armor unless you actually believe that God is who he says he is. So faith is taking God at his word and acting on it. So God is telling you to do something, or God's word says something. And so many people are knowledgeable about the word. And you can read the word of God and be very knowledgeable about it and memorize all the scriptures and regurgitate them, you know, just audibly. But if you don't believe in what you're talking about, they're just words. So that's putting action behind. If the word says given, it should be given unto you, and you're giving. You're believing this word. It says if I give, then here you go, I'm going to give. I'm believing that it'll be given unto me. I'm according to his word. That's putting action behind your word. It's not just having words, because words are just words. So, faith is taking God at his word and acting on it. Faith is based on indisputable truth that is real. Indisputable truth. The word of God is indisputable. There's no fact about it. Scientists around the world are trying to come against it. Most of them, some of them have become Christians trying to dispel God's truth in his word because his word is indisputable. Noah's Ark, there it is. They dug it up and sure enough, there's a big old boat sitting in the middle of somewhere. Ha! You know? indisputable truth. That's faith. No matter what, I believe. Faith is not, here's what faith ain't. Look at someone and say, here's what faith ain't. Faith is not an emotion based on feelings. Let me say that again. So faith is not an emotion based on feelings. You know, sometimes we feel things. You know what I'm saying? We feel a certain kind of way. Like, I just feel like this is right. Have you ever done that? I feel like this is right. This is good, right? And when you hit the high voice, you know, whenever you hit the high voice on yourself, you know it ain't right. It ain't back. You know what I'm saying? It's I feel good about this. So let me read this again for somebody. Because faith is not an emotion based on feelings. It's based off of reality. So you don't hope for what you already have. Oh yeah, I'm hoping for, you know, just to get a nice car. You already have a nice car. What are you hoping for? You can't hope for something you already have. That's not faith. So you're hoping for things that are unseen, that you're trusting in God to manifest for you. Faith without works is dead. And that's his point blank. So saying all these things and not believing, faith without works is dead. Faith is what you say you believe and have action. So faith is what you say you believe in action. Faith is what you say you believe in action. So I believe the word of God. I believe everything that the Bible tells me. Action speaks louder than words. So I can tell my kids that we're going to go to Busch Gardens and we're going to just get, you know, just have a great time. You know what I'm saying? I can talk to them and tell them all the things I'm going to do. But if I don't put action behind my words, they're just words. So faith is what you say you believe in action. So when you say that I believe in God, when you say that I love God, when you say that I trust God, you know, it's great to say that. So you can say that you know what, girl, I trust you, I believe you, and I'm here with you, you know what I'm saying? You can say all these things, I'm going to be faithful. So girls, listen, guys are going to be like, I'm going to be faithful. You know, I ain't going to be, you know, just, it's just me and you against the world, girl, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And the girl's like, ah! He's going to do it. And all of a sudden happens. But if your friends see him, and he's talking with this one, and that one, and that one, and this one. What they say? Toes. So if he's talking to this one and that one, you see what I'm saying? Is she really gonna have faith in his words because he put no action behind them? See, I gotta make something relatable so that you can understand what I'm talking about. Because it's the same way with God. When we say that we're Christians and we say that we believe and we come to church and we're raising our hands in worship and lead in worship, that our actions line up with what we say. So, faith is what you say you believe in action. That's what happened to R. Kelly comment, I believe I can fly. Ah, oh, my bad. That's not, yeah, that's. I'm just saying. All right, we're going to move on. So, we must examine the evidence. So listen up. We got to examine the evidence and see that God has proven himself to be unchanging and consistent. God is unchanging. He's been from the beginning of time. Everything that he said was going to happen has happened. We must firmly believe that he will fulfill his promises to us. So we got to examine the word, and then we got to, you know, just look at what the Bible says. And we got to truly believe. So the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So consider that substance is concrete and evidence is solid proof. Therefore, faith, again, is not an emotion based on feelings, but reality. So we got to see faith as something tangible, something real. So when God says that by my stripes you are healed, that you believe that you are healed, when God says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, that you believe that no weapon's going to, you know, be formed against me and prosper. Doesn't mean jump in front of a train. Saying. God gives us common sense. But it's believing in his word and putting action behind his word. So I want to go through some of the characteristics of this shield that we're talking about, the shield of faith. The shield of faith. So one of the characteristics of the shield of faith is, can anyone guess before it's up there? Yeah, good. What's one of the characteristics you think the shield of faith is? What does the shield of faith do? Okay, what else? That's it? No, protection from what? Lies. Sturdy, that's good, I like that. What else? Yeah, this is interactive, y'all. I gotta interact. I gotta pull this stuff out of you. Yep, 15. So, anyone said someone said something? Bulletproof? I want your kind of shirt. I like what you're working with, bro. Okay, so number one. So here are some characteristics of the shield of faith. So the shield is the first line of defense. So with the Roman soldiers, this is the first line of defense. So whenever the trumpet was blown and they knew that the enemy was going to try to infiltrate, the first thing they went and got, they put on their armor. See, they put on everything on the belt of truth, the breastplate, they put on the shoes, all this stuff. But the first line of defense of the tools that God has given us is the shield. So the shield is the first line of defense to combat against what she said, what he said, what's going on, all the drama, just all this stuff. Your shield is the first line of defense. So the shield, again, was used by the Romans to ward off opening battles or barrages from the enemy. The enemy would shoot flaming arrows. They would throw fireballs. They would just crazy stuff that the enemies would do to the Roman soldiers. So it's the first line of defense. So the soldiers would get their shields to protect themselves. The second characteristics of the shield is the shield guards. It protects. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. I need someone that can read this real quick for me. Who want to come up here and read this real quick? Come on, John.
Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Give it up for Jeff. So the shield guards us. So Jesus Christ, the high priest, him dying on the cross and us asking him to come into our hearts and our lives, automatically gives us protection as we activate the shield that he's given us. So the shield guards us. The shield deflects is the third one. The shield deflects. So the enemy used to, like I said, they would get arrows dipped in canvas and tar and light them on fire and cascade them at the Roman soldiers. And yeah, it would be like a cascade of arrows, flaming arrows in the sky coming down. Silence. Just, you know, for a moment it seems bliss until they land and the flames start to devour your whole camp, you know? So the fascinating thing about the enemy's lightning, why do you think the enemy's lit the arrows on fire? It does what? Burns your whole body? I don't know what kind of game you're playing. Okay, I heard some over here. So why did they light them on fire? It causes Amanda to tell you.
No, I
didn't. You did it? She said, no, I didn't. She said, no, I didn't. I didn't. I give you credit. So you said what, Aaron?
It distracts.
It causes a distraction. So, yeah. So what's that? It's widespread. Okay. So it causes a distraction. So imagine if you're fighting someone and all of a sudden you're on fire. You know? Are you worried about the fight? If we're fighting, I'm on fire. You think I'm gonna be like, Aaron just hit me? I'm gonna be like, I'm on fire, dude. I'm gonna, you know, trying to put it out. So it causes chaos. It causes panic because fire's hot, fire burns, and it takes your distraction off of the actual assault that your enemy is putting on you, and it allows the enemy now to advance further because you're worried about your camp burning down, your horses burning, you know, everything's just on fire. So there's random chaos. But the shield deflects the fiery darts of the enemy. So the enemy's throwing darts at you. And we're going to get into what kind of darts he's throwing at you. But the shield of faith deflects those fiery darts. So faith in God and his promise causes Satan's flaming arrows to bounce off, not able to penetrate our mind, our soul, or our hearts. So that's what the shield deflects, Satan's fiery darts, so they can't penetrate. So what the Roman soldiers would do, my wife and I were talking about this last week, is they would dip, because the sword, the shield had was wrapped in leather, they would dip their shields in water so that the flaming arrows wouldn't ignite the wooden part of their shield. So, and we know that water is symbolic to Christ, to the Holy Spirit. So, for us, having a shield of faith, we need to submerge ourselves in the Holy Spirit. So when the enemy comes, that with the fiery darts, with the lies, with the accusations against us, they won't penetrate through that shield. So the types of fiery darts that the enemy's using against you guys now are anything to get you to disobey God. That's a fiery dart. And that can be anything. But those are the kind of darts that he's using. Anything to get you to disobey God. Like with Adam and Eve. Just enough of deception to get Eve to disobey God. And so many times he's used this to get people to disobey God. Is God's word really what it says it is? Is that really going to happen to you? If you really do that, you really think that's that bad, you know? Everyone's doing it, so it's okay. I've done it before, so it's not like a big deal, you know? So he comes in with these fiery darts, and that's what he's using to get you to do anything to disobey God, is a fiery dart that the enemy's using. Blasphemous thoughts are arrows that he uses. Blasphemous thoughts. So what he's saying is, in your subconscious mind, if there's no God? God doesn't love you. God's not good. You see what I'm saying? Would a God that's good allow you to go through this much pain and suffering? He loves to use that flaming arrow. But remember that God delegated dominion over the earth to man. Therefore, everything that goes on the earth is man's responsibility. In Genesis, with Adam and Eve, God gave Adam dominion over the earth. So everything that happens on this earth, we have dominion over. So the things that happen, because people do bad things and evil enters into bad people, that's not God. God gave us dominion over the earth, so that's why these things happen. But so many times, God gets the blame for it. And it's not true. But those are the deception, the flaming arrows that the enemy throws at us. Another one is critical and hateful thoughts about yourself and others. Flaming arrows that he's throwing at you right now, or has in the past, leading to breaking fellowship with God and man. And God's command is, my command is, love each other as I have loved you. I'm not giving you this critical mindset, but the enemy inundates us with these critical thoughts. I got beef with this person, you know what I'm saying? And this dude, you know, he don't want no sauce, and you know, is that smoke? That smell like smoke. You know, you don't want to smoke. You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? So critical and hateful thoughts about yourself and others. When you feel something like this rising up on the inside of you, then you better know that the enemy's throwing darts at you and you don't even realize it. You don't even get it. You're oblivious that he's using these flaming arrows to distract you, and he's penetrating through your shield, through your weapons. Another one is thoughts of lust. Flaming arrows, thoughts of lust. Thoughts of lust, wrath, revenge, despair, which are capable of burning themselves deeply into your very soul. Listen to this. Into your very soul, and all of them weakening your ability to resist whatever strategy that Satan plans against you. No matter what Satan's planning against you, if you indulge in lust, wrath, revenge, despair, you've just weakened your whole defense system. So the enemy can come at you in any way he wants to. So things are happening, you're like, I don't understand how this is happening. I do. Flaming arrows that are coming in, and you haven't even activated your shield. You're just getting hit, just open target. I want change, I want more, I want different. But you just willingly just drop your shield and allow the enemy just to attack you. So this immediately weakens your defense systems against the enemy. Sudden fears, anxiety, panic attacks, a dull feeling like nothing is right, especially with God. Nothing's ever right. I don't get it. Some of you kind of go through that, where nothing feels right. No matter what I do, nothing feels right. Who I talk to, who I hang around, nothing feels right. I don't get it. You've weakened your defense system. You've allowed the enemy to infiltrate your camp. Your heart is your camp, in case you didn't know. I'm just a straight fact right now. I'm hitting you hard with this, because this is where a lot of you guys are at right now. So, excuse my passion. I still love you. Hey, I'm going to keep going. So, sudden fear, anxiety, panic attacks, a dull feeling like nothing's right, especially with God. The enemy's infiltrating you with flaming darts and arrows, catapulting fireballs at you. Questioning, here's one right here, questioning the inspiration and authority of the Bible, questioning the Word. So sometimes we think that's us, but that's really the enemy throwing these darts at us, where we're questioning the Word, we're questioning God, the deity of God, His sovereignty, the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross for us, salvation, grace. We're questioning all these things. See, that's how the enemy gets us. These are the arrows that he's throwing at us. So, but a shield deflects. Someone say a shield deflects all that. So if you got the shield, you ain't got to worry about that, right? You're good. If you got the shield, it deflects all of that I mentioned. That was a lot. That was a mouthful, right? Shake your head like, mm-hmm. Some of y'all just blink. Y'all looking at me like, just blink. You're stuck. All right, so listen. So the shield deflects all of that and activating the shield. Now, some of us haven't activated our shields. We're coming to church, we're worshiping, we're serving God, but guess what? We're just getting hit by the enemy and haven't activated our shields. So the next attribute of the shield can incapacitate. The shield can incapacitate the enemy. Incapacitate, y'all like, what was that? I just made a word up. The shield can incapacitate the enemy. So Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. And then the devil left and the angels came and attended to Jesus. So the enemy came with all these darts at Jesus. Satan came and tried to tempt Jesus at his weakest point of his life. He was in the wilderness. He was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. So he's weak. And the enemy came and tried to tempt him with all these flaming, arrows. And what did Jesus do? He spoke the word. He stood on the shield of faith. He stood on his principles. He knew what the word of God said. And the enemy did what? He laughed. Some of you guys, Just allow the enemy to come in. You just allow him to say and do whatever he wants with you. When all you have to do is speak the word, put the shield of faith up, and stand on the principles of God of which you know, and the enemy will flee. Resist the enemy, and he will flee. That's the power of the shield of faith. The next one is, let's get a little music going. I can't see about no eyes or contact or anything. I'm normally on the stage. Let's get a little instrumental. I know what he's doing. I got no hat either. I'm like, no hat. I can't go out until I get the music. All right, that's just a joke. I am Holy Spirit all around this place. Holy Spirit, we just welcome your presence right now. We just thank you for who you are, Lord God. I'm not praying, y'all can keep your heads up. I'm just welcoming the Holy Spirit who's already been here. You know what I'm saying? I'm just acknowledging his presence because he's been here. This last one I love because it speaks to all of us right here. And there's one of the characteristics of the shield is there is strength in the number of shields. So the Roman Empire would join a barricade in line, and they would line up together and build a wall with these shields. The shields, again, were 3 foot high, 3 foot wide. They would build a wall that was like a fortress that was impenetrable. The enemy could not penetrate this wall because all the shields were locked together. And that's you guys putting your shields of faith together. So, and they would put them up front, they would put them on the top, and it was like the first human tank in military history. So they formed and they would move up and go forward. I don't know who that is. I don't even know who that is. That's my Roman. I'm sure people fighting, that's kind of what, hey, I'm sure it wasn't. Yoo-hoo! Move forward! No, it wasn't like that. It was like more direct and stern. So, their strength in the number of shields. So the Roman soldiers would use their shields to form a wall around them to protect them. They would form. What they poured is like a human tank, like I was saying. So here's the thing. So the one may be overpowered. See, one may be overpowered. Two can defend themselves, but a cord of three strands is not as quickly broken. So you guys are those strands. One, okay, I got it. It may happen, you know. Two together, the word says two or more together, there's much power to build in that. But three and more, the more you unite your shields of faith together, the more the enemy cannot can penetrate into your hearts, into your worlds. So it takes you guys understanding how this shield of faith works. So how do you activate the shield of faith? How do you activate the shield of faith? Having faith. You were going to say that? Okay, having faith. Believe it in the words you say. Pray. Pray. Prayer activates everything. That's at the end of the chapter. Aha! Prayer activates everything, but you're right. What's up? So, but listen to this. Listen. Because this is some of you right now, so I'm going to get a little serious. Because some of you guys are right in the midst of the storm. Some of you guys are acting like everything's okay, but everything ain't okay. Right now, everything is not okay, and you're acting like everything's okay because you have not activated your shield. You don't have the protection that you need, and you are getting bombarded with lust, temptation, desire, doing things that you shouldn't be doing. Promises that you said you were going to do, you're no longer, they're just distant memories. So, to activate the shield of faith, until you take up the shield of faith, it cannot do its job to defend you. So until you, look at someone say you. Until you take up your faith, it cannot do its job to shield you. In order to protect you, you must choose to pick up the shield. So all the different tools that God's given us, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes, the gospel. See, we put those on like a uniform, if you will, and imagine a firefighter putting on his uniform, and the bell sounding, and the alarms are going off, and he's putting on all his gear to protect himself from the flames and the fire, and keep himself out of harm's way. But that fireman has tools that he uses to gain access and to protect himself even more, where he picks up different tools. So Paul was concise when he told us for this one. He said, in regards to all these other tools that God has given you, activate the shield of faith. To activate it. Activate it with your belief system, with your putting action behind your words. Not just memorizing things that you've heard throughout the years and regurgitating them, but actually believing in what you are saying and your actions line up with your word. So until you do that, you're going to continue to spin the wheels in the mud and gaining no momentum where you're going. Until you activate the shield, you're going to continue to be a just dartboard for the enemy. And he's just like, and he's just having a field day with you. And you're just sitting there getting hit and bombarded with this just arsenal of attacks from the enemy because you have not activated your shield. So, as the enemy throws his fiery darts towards you, move your shield in the area that needs protecting. So the enemy's attacking your heart, then put your shield in front of your heart and guard your heart. If the enemy's attacking your health, then speak and move your shield in that area of your life, which is health, and say, you know what, I stand on God's word that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, that I am healed and whole. Move the shield in the area of the life of your life that the enemy's attacking you. So if he's coming from the side, you got to move that shield to the side. So it's an action. Declaring God's word over every situation in your life, every area that the enemy is putting you in harm's way, is how you use this shield. So if you put these steps into action, you'll start to see faith, this faith shield work for you. But it takes action. It takes you believing. It takes you believing. Believing in his word, believing in his promises, believing in everything that the Bible says. It takes you. Because without it, they're just words. They're just words. So above all, take the shield of faith so that you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. So in order to apply any of this, you gotta ask yourself, aren't you tired? Is anybody tired? Ask this again. Aren't you tired of running? Aren't you tired of just putting on a mask and just living this life of lies? Aren't you tired of just being at the expense of other people? Other people's emotions, and just being this puppet with strings as people orchestrate your every step, how society says you should act and how you should be and what you should do and how you should dress. Aren't you tired of running in these circles? I remember when I got to that point and I was just so tired. I was so tired. I just wanted to sleep, and sleeping is a sign of depression, and I just wanted to sleep because I didn't want to face reality anymore. I didn't want to face people anymore. I was just so tired. I want to ask you again. Aren't you tired? It's time to put action to our faith. It's time to believe, regardless of what the enemy says. It's time to take the gospel out of these four walls into your schools, into your communities. It's time to start a prayer group in your school. It's time to start a Bible study at someone's house. It's time to just stop being about ourselves and being about other people. It's all about me. Aren't you tired? I want to encourage you guys. I want to encourage you guys. Stop being the enemy's dartboard, first of all. Because God has given us the tools to quench his fiery darts. God has given us the tools to access and to be successful against the enemy. God gave us dominion over this earth, not Satan. But we act like he has dominion over everything, and we give him rule and reign over our lives. Everyone, close your eyes. I want to talk to those that are tired. I'm going to do a couple things here, but I want to address the ones that are tired. Tired of living a life of lies and just tired. And just, now what this requires is a whole heart of surrendering, a whole heart of just saying, you know what, I'm done, I'm good, I'm tired, I don't want to do this anymore. So this is who I'm talking to. The ones that want to make this stand and want to make this declaration that, you know what, I'm good from now on. I'm no one's puppet. I'm not going to compare myself to the world. I'm not going to just, you know, submit myself to the enemy and let him just bombard me with all this negativity and all these things that I'm going through. So if you're tired, but I want you to mean this, if you're tired, I want you to raise your hand. I see. Okay, you put those hands down. Now, the next thing I want to do is I want to give you an invitation for those that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have not made him the Lord of your life. You have not put him as the center of your foundation, and he's not everything. His truth does not surround you in everything that you do. Then I want to give you an opportunity to make that right. In order to activate this faith, it's impossible to please God without faith. And in order to do that, you have to believe in him. So I want to give you that opportunity to just confess this and make this public. Everyone's got their eyes closed, everyone's looking around. So if you do not have a relationship with God, I want you to raise your hand. I see that hand. I see someone scratching their cheek. Never mind. Alright. Seriously though. So, three hands. Four. Okay, I saw that. I saw those hands. If you have not raised your hand, I want you to raise your hand now. I see that hand right there. That was not a cheek scratch. That was a true hand. I love it. Alright. I'm waiting for one more hand. No, I'm not. Am I waiting for one more hand? Is there one more hand? Okay, everyone can open their eyes, put your hands down, look up. Let's all stand. Keep that music going. So, we got two different parts here to where people that were just tired and people that dedicated their life to Christ. So let's do the dedications first, and then we're going to do the people that are just tired. So, if everyone close your eyes and repeat after me, we're going to say this together as a family because we are a family. So let's say this together. So what you're about to say, let me just tell you, what you're about to say is a declaration to God saying that, you know what, God, forgive me for my sins, forgive me for what I've done, forgive me for where I'm at in my life, and I want to get this right. I want to have the Holy Spirit come and live on the inside of me. I want your truth to be my truth is what you're saying. So I just want to make sure you understand what you're committing to. All right, so everyone close your eyes And when you say this, mean this with every fiber, every part in your soul and your being. Lord God, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me for all the choices that didn't line up with your word, all of my actions that didn't line up with your word. Forgive me for my sins. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, please come and live on the inside of me. Rule and reign like an umpire in my life. Help me to make godly decisions and choices in my life. As I come to church, as I read your word, I thank you that my life will never be the same after today. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! So we do have a Holy Bible here. If you do not have a tangible that you can reach out and touch and flip the pages and hear the pages turn Bible, I want to offer this to you. It is free. What we'll do is put your name and the day's date in there just to remind you of the day that you had the courage to say, you know what, I'm done. I'm tired enough, and I want this. So after the service, please come see myself, my wife, my awesome team. And we would love to bless you with this as well. So now let's talk about the people that were tired. Because I remember what it was like to be tired and just, you make poor choices and decisions when you're tired. Have you ever been physically tired and you just like, you're studying for, you know, exams or whatever, and you just start making some dumb mistakes. You know, you just like, and you look back over, you're like, what the heck is that Aramaic? What is that? Well, I don't even read that. You start to make poor choices when you're tired. So the same thing happens when you're spiritually tired. You start to make poor choices. Things that you normally wouldn't have done, you start entertaining. Things that you normally wouldn't say, you start saying when you're tired like this. So let's all say this together. Let's close our eyes. Lord God, I now recognize that you are my source of my strength, of my energy, of my peace, of my joy, of my love, of my very fiber. Everything about me exists today because of you. I recognize that you are Lord over everything, over every area of my life. In Jesus' name, I thank you that you fill me with strength, with courage, with boldness as I read your word, as I worship you. You give me energy. My wings are spread like eagles because of the joy that's in my heart that can only come from you. And I thank you. I commit myself to you, Lord God. From this day forth, in Jesus' name, I will not compare my life to the world's standards, but to your standards. In Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! You may be seated. I feel like I just ran 20 miles. It's a good. Thank you. Oh, look at that. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, gee. All right, so we got some birthdays. Check it out. We got some birthdays. First of all,